to our program. As we concluded our last series in the book of Revelation, I was very concerned about what we should do next. What is the greatest need for a Christian in these perilous times? I was reading in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul said that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah, there it is, that we might be able to stand in these perilous times. The phrase, be strong, is in the Bible 36 times. However, we cannot be strong simply because someone commands us to be strong. Strength is a byproduct, and a byproduct is a secondary result that is produced by doing something else. It is our plan in this series to go verse by verse through the book of Ephesians, but first we're going to look at Paul's early connection with the church at Ephesus. And so have your Bible ready. We'll be looking in Acts chapter 19. And while you're getting your Bible ready, listen to this message and song. It has a very important question. Is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Thank you. can tell all the love he will send from above? Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
I'm reading in Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, that is the Messiah. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a difference here. You can look at our series in the book of Acts and see the notes on that if you want to see the details about these baptisms. Verse 6, And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. We also deal with that in that series in the book of Acts. Verse 8, He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers, or many, were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That's a very important thing. You'll understand that when we get into the book of Ephesians about the Jews and the Greeks and the difference. Verse 11, And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, we are not going to get sidetracked on that, but I'll just mention this, that Paul had special powers. The apostles had powers that were given to them by the Lord. And if someone comes to you today and is going to do special miracles and send us a few bucks and we'll send you a handkerchief and you'll get better, he's a shyster, all right? That's not for today. That is over. And only those men had the power to do that. Some of these shysters that are going around today trying to get your money, be very, very careful. Verse 13, we read, Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. There's a really interesting portion of scripture. I'd like to stop and preach on that, but I'm not going to. We're going to keep on track here. Verse 17, And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, I'll just say that about that. And if we would have that kind of a situation today where our little Christians, I really should call them little Christianettes, who are listening to this garbage music and are wrapped up in all these toys of the world, would bring them all together and burn them, then we might see the power of God working in our churches, and we wouldn't be having to have so many crazy little programs to try and get people interested enough to come to church. The Holy Spirit would do that if we would do what they did. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned much people away, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. In verse 27, we read he went on to say that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gallius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not venture himself into the theater. Some therefore cried the one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand that and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Juniper? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, for ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is opened, and there are deputies, let them impede one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it is to be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Well, one thing for sure, when Paul the Apostle showed up, there was always some kind of activity here, and we read about it here when he came into Ephesus and he worked for 2 years trying to get Christians to have the victorious Christian life. Paul considered that Ephesus was a great God-given opportunity, and he stayed there longer than any other place. More is written about the church at Ephesus than any other church in the New Testament. We have this account here in the book of Acts, and then we have the book of Ephesians, and then we have 1 and 2 Timothy, which was written about the church there at Ephesus, and then we have the seven churches in the book of Revelation, which begins with the church at Ephesus. More written about this church than any other church. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, Paul said, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. But he went on to say, and there are many adversaries. Well, if you read on down in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 38, you'll see that Paul is going to leave and go on his way, and he will not be coming back to Ephesus. And we read in verse 17, he sent and called the elders of the church, and he said in verse 26, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Then he said, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, number one, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And number two, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Well, he warned them, but they didn't listen. And we're going to see that as we get into the book of Ephesians. We're going to see what happened here. And by the time we read in the early part of the book of Revelation what this church was doing, we find it in a very miserable condition. Well, in our next program, we'll get into the book of Ephesians, and we'll go through verse by verse and have a look at what Paul had to say here. He did tell us in this book how we can have that strength to stand in a day of apostasy. As we conclude this message today, listen to this message and song by Mina Oglesby, The Potter's Hands.
To the hands of the potter from an old field of clay, I was brought by the Spirit to Jesus one day, and the people gathered round him, and each tried to say what the potter make from this poor lump of clay. Just some clay and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter for his hands, though wounded, were tender and kind as he fashioned washed clean, and then on my sleeve Jesus crushed me again and again, and the people passing near him could all hear him say, I must do what I will with this poor lump of clay. Just some clay and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter for his hands, though wounded, were tender and kind as he fashioned a vessel of thank you. but the Lord only knows what this vessel must do. I'm so glad when Jesus saved me, His grace let me say, you can do what you want with this poor lump of clay. Just some clay and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter for his hands, the wounded were tender and kind as he fashioned a vessel.